Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Schaltbau Holding AG regarding the presentation of the H1 2019 financial results. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Wolfgang Güssken, Head of Investor Relations, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Wolfgang Güssken, and as the investor relations representative of Schaltbau, I'm happy to welcome you to our H1 2019 results conference call this afternoon. As in previous sessions, today we will have our CEO, Albrecht Köhler, and our CFO, Thomas Dippold, lead you through the call. For those of you who have not already downloaded from our website the H1 2019 presentation document, which will support this call, please go to schaltbaugroup.com and access the file in the presentation sections of the investor relations and media landing page. If this is not an option to you should still be able to follow the call even without the presentation document at hand. Jumping right into the document on slide two, we comment that today's presentation contains forward-looking statements regarding future developments based on information currently available. As a result of risk and uncertainties, actual outcomes could differ from the forward-looking statements made. Schaltbau does not intend to update these forward-looking statements. Numbers provided in the presentation may not add up due to rounding. Finally, please take notice that this call will be recorded and that a replay of the call will be made available on our website. With this, I hand it to our CFO, Thomas Dippold, who will lead you through our H1 2019 financials before our CEO, Albrecht Köhler, will conclude the presentation part of the call with some summary comments on the flooding Bodø suffered in May, the multi-year restructuring project just finalized, and Schaltbau's market opportunities. Thomas, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Wolfgang, for the introduction. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Thomas Dippold, and I have the privilege to guide you through the financial figures of the first half year 2019. Before I start to present the business development of our group in the first six months, let me quickly comment on slide five, what we've already achieved so far this year. The previous slide four summarizes our major KPIs for your information. On slide five, you see an overview of our 2019 restructuring efforts from a financial and an operational perspective. In the second quarter of 2019, we have made significant progress on our restructuring activities, and we have reached two major milestones. The liquidation of Cepsa and the sale of Alte, which were both non-core businesses for the Schaltbau Group. Cepsa, which has been classified as asset held for sale in November 2017 already, filed for liquidation on the 8th of April this year. At the same time, the Indian rail supplier, Medha, made an offer to the liquidation court to acquire Cepsa's key assets in order to be able to continue the business. The Spanish liquidation court accepted the liquidation application made by the liquidator on the 7th of May. On the 16th of July, the liquidation court accepted the offer submitted by Medha. The final deadline for all parties to appeal to this decision expired last Friday. To our knowledge, no party has objected, so the process of Medha acquiring Cepsa's key assets will continue as planned. Important for Schaltbau is the following. Cepsa is deconsolidated since the 7th of May, and the provision for the guarantees outstanding up to 6.7 million is already made and incorporated in our figures. With regard to Alte, we've put the company officially for sale in February this year, and we were finally able to sell it to the French rail supplier, Bharat, for 1 euro end of May. With this step, we were able to find a strategic investor who is in a much better position to develop the business for the future than it would have been the case with Schaltbau. In addition, the acquisition by Bharat ensures the continuity of the business, which is a huge benefit for our customers and therefore also in the interest of Schaltbau. The divestment of Sepsaint Alte significantly reduce the complexity of the Schaltbau Group and allow us to focus our attention on the core businesses. In parallel, we also started the refinancing process of our credit facilities. On the 17th of June, we signed a new syndicated loan in the amount of 103 million euro with six syndicate banks. In addition, we set up an asset-backed security program and we extended promissory notes, which will be continued for at least 3 more years. These three financing bricks will sum up to at least 150 million euro. Together with the funds from last year's capital increase, Schaltbau is now in a good financial position for the future. Besides that, all other operating restructuring activities are on track. Our operational excellence programs Fit for Future at Bode and Rawag, initiated already in 2018, are well on the way and begin to show first impacts on the bottom line. We are also making good progress on our restructuring program in the stationary transportation business. The consolidation of the locations Sprockhövel and Dienstlaken and a number of productivity initiatives are well on track. As a consequence of our progress in improving the overall results, our almost finalized refinancing and the divestment of the loss-making Spanish activities, we have successfully completed the formal restructuring process, which has been ongoing since 2017. The management consultancy firm, which was engaged in order to define our restructuring activities and to monitor on the progress, has officially confirmed the completion last Monday, the 29th of July. Slide 6 gives an overview of the operational performance in the first 6 months of 2019. The already mentioned in Q1 investors call, Schaltbau is back on track. We are very pleased with the figures we are presenting to you today as they reflect the good development of our operating activities. Components and mobile transportation are fully in line with our expectations. In addition, stationary transportation shows a strong development. Excluding Alte, Sepsa, and from last year, Pinch-Bubenzer, Schaltbau Group generated a like-for-like order intake of 276.4 million euro, almost on the level of previous year's adjusted figures. In the first half of 2019, Schaltbau Group recorded an increase in like-for-like sales of 7.5% compared to the first half of 2018. The organic sales growth, which means excluding Sepsa, Alte and Pinch-Bubenzer and excluding exceptional items, in the first 6 months of the fiscal year reached 22.9 million euro or a growth of 10.5% compared to last year. With 8.4 million euro, Schaltbau Group's reported earnings before interest and taxes were down by 0.9 million euro versus previous year H1 EBIT. However, on a like-for-like basis and before exceptional items, EBIT increased by 7.1 million euro to 16.5 million euro compared to last year. This is the result of a good sales development, progress in the restructuring measures, and the continuous focus on cost reduction. Based on the positive performance in sales and EBIT in the first half of 2019, we confirm the operating guidance for the full fiscal year. On slide 7, you see our order intake reported and like-for-like. Order intake of Schaltbau Group declined in the first half of 2019 by 4.1% or 12.5 million euro compared to the first half of 2018. Like-for-like, order intake reached 276.4 million euro, more or less on the same level of last year. Please note that our exceptional items this time do not only affect EBIT, but also order intake and sales. The provision for potential payments with regard to the remaining bank guarantees for Sepsa reduces our order intake, sales and EBIT by 6.7 million euro each due to accounting reasons. This is a new accounting standard, IFRS 15, with the revenue recognition, and together with our auditors, I think this is the first and most relevant case in this interim report that we state, which is affecting our figures. An increase in order intake in mobile transportation and components was offset by a drop in stationary transportation. The year-on-year growth in the mobile transportation is mainly driven by our Polish entity Rawag, reflecting a strong Eastern European market. The positive development in components is based on a strong demand for railway equipment and contactors. Our order book reached €492.2 million at end of June 2019. This is 15.6% below the level at year-end 2018. The drop is because the order books of Alte and Zepsa were excluded with a sale or deconsolidation. On a like-for-like basis, the order book was 10.6% higher than first half year 2018. Coming to slide 8. With €255 million, reported group sales were €3.5 million, or 1.4% higher than the comparable figure for 2018. Please bear in mind, also sales were reduced by €6.7 million for the provisions for the Zepsa guarantees according to IFRS 15. Adjusted for Alte, Zepsa and Pinch-Bubenza, sale in the first half 2019 reached €233.2 million, compared to €217 million in the same period last year. This equals an organic growth of 7.5%. Including the sales reduction due to the provision, organic like-for-like sales would have grown 10.5%, another remarkable development. Over the last 3 years, during the restructuring, we were able to maintain the annual sales level around €500 million sales, despite selling non-core entities with over €100 million sales. All segments contributed to the €16.2 million increase in adjusted sales. Mobile transportation generated a sales growth of €3.6 million, mainly due to the strong development in the rail business in Europe and North America. In stationary transportation, sales volume increased by an adjusted €7.7 million, which was driven primarily by the platform screen door business as well as change orders for two major projects. Components achieved an organic growth of €4.8 million, with sales increases in almost all product categories. Please turn to slide 9, which shows our reported EBIT of €8.5 million and the bridge to the EBIT like-for-like before exceptional items of €16.5 million. The by far most relevant adjustment are the restructuring expenses with €8.3 million. The already mentioned provision for the Zepsa guarantees with €6.7 million plays the biggest role in this position, beside the expenses for consultancy firms supporting the restructuring. Deconsolidation effects concerning Alte and Zepsa, as well as effects from Alte's classification as asset held for sale, had a positive impact on our EBIT. And adjusted by the profit contributions of Alte and Zepsa, which we were able to achieve an EBIT before exceptional items on a like-for-like basis of €16.5 million, totally in line with our guidance. Coming to slide number 10. On this slide, we want to show you the development of our reported EBIT and with all adjustments compared to last year. We do apologize for the complexity. Many of the effects result technically from the restructuring measures, and we need to refer to the actual reported figures in our annual and half-year reports. The only thing we can do is to be as transparent as possible and show where the differences come from and how the continued core businesses perform also without those effects. The EBIT improvement compared to last year is mainly caused by the sales growth in all continued businesses. Stationary transportation in particular recorded a significant increase in EBIT compared to last year, also due to several operative one-time effects. Furthermore, we also made significant progress in productivity and material cost savings as part of our restructuring activities. On the next slide, you see our cash flow development. Our free cash flow was negative at minus €15.4 million in the first half 2019, compared to positive €10.5 million last year. A negative cash flow from operating activities of minus €8.8 million and a negative cash flow from investing activities of minus 6.7 million euro contributed to this in this year. While the EBIT of 8.5 million euro was slightly below last year, the negative deviation was mainly due to the increase in working capital, especially inventories and trade receivables. Compared to previous year, working capital was 8.5 million higher. This is more or less in line with the increased sales development. Last year's positive free cash flow of 10.5 million euro was impacted by the sale of Pinch Bubenzer and the release of the funds of an escrow account, and last year's cash flow from financing activities includes a capital increase and the repayment of the credit facilities and the bridge financing with the proceeds of the Bubenzer sale and the capital increase. I'm coming to the analysis of the segments. On slide 12, you can see the development of mobile transportation or Bode Group. In this segment, order intake was almost on previous year's level. With 170.2 million euro, incoming orders remain on a very high number. Excluding SEPSA and ALTE, and adjusted by a technical effect due to IFRS 15, the segment recorded an increase in order intake of 8 million euro compared to last year. The main reason for the increase is the doors and interior business of RAVAC, where several new major orders and options were won in the first half of 2019. The adjusted book-to-bill ratio was 1.25 in the reporting period. Segment sales adjusted for exceptional items increased by 6 million euro or almost 4%, mainly due to the strong growth at Bode Group compared to prior year. Excluding SEPSA and ALTE and adjusted by technical effects due to the provision made for SEPSA, the segment recorded a sales increase of 10.3 million euro or 8.5% versus last year. The reported EBIT improved slightly but was still negative at minus 0.4 million euro. On a like-for-like basis, EBIT before exceptional items is at 6.5 million euro. In addition to the sales increase, the margin improvement is also due to a significantly better project mix, improved productivity, price increases, as well as direct and indirect material savings. On slide 13, you can see the performance of stationary transportation, or Pinch Group. Adjusted for Pinch Bubenzer, which was sold in 2018, stationary transportation recorded a drop of 12.6 million euro in incoming orders compared to the same period in 2018. Last year had a major one-off order intake for a train formation project with a volume of more than 9 million euro. The other reason for the decline are several delayed project awardings in the German level crossing market. The sales volume in the reporting period was 29.5 million euro, 7.7 million euro higher than last year, after adjustment for the sales of Pinch Bubenzer. The main drivers for this were platform screen door sales, realized change orders in the first quarter, and push-outs from 2018 into the first quarter 2019. The segment's EBIT in the first half of 2019 was driven by the higher sales volume and a positive project mix. In addition, numerous cost-cutting measures positively impacted the bottom line. The EBIT margin was 8% compared to minus 0.4% in prior year. On the next slide, you can see the development of our components business. The order situation in the component segment continues to be strong. Incoming orders increased by 13.6% to 88.5 million euro. The growth was driven by all product categories, with rail control packages having the highest share. Segment sales rose by 6.4% year-on-year to 79.3 million euro. Growth was achieved across almost all product groups. The main drivers were Schallbau GmbH in Germany, Chinese Xi'an, and the Italian SPI entity. The EBIT of components decreased by 9.8% to 14.3 million euro. The decline in earnings is mainly attributable to expenses for organizational changes in order to secure the planned future sales growth in new business segments. Ladies and gentlemen, on slide 15, you can see the overview of our current equity and net debt situation. Equity decreased by 0.5 million euro to 93.3 million euro compared to year-end 2018. The slight decline is mainly in effect in the context of the valuation of pension provisions. With 22.8%, the year in 2018 was 23.7%, the equity ratio is still below the target corridor of 30 to 35%. The decline of the equity ratio is mainly due to a longer balance sheet in total with the new IFRS 16 leasing standard in place since 2019. The increase of net debt by 17.2 million euro as of 30th June 2019 is mainly driven by higher working capital. We expect a better development in the second half of the year. Let's move on to the update of the refinancing activities on page 16 in particular. On the 17th of June 2019, we signed a new syndicated credit facility agreement with Commerzbank and UniCredit as lead arrangers and with four other lending syndicate banks. The initial commitment for the lenders is 103 million euro for 3 years. The facility can be extended twice for one further year. Currently, we are talking about extending the facility by another 6 million to 109 million euro. In regard to the promissory notes or Schuldscheindarlehen, we are happy to have reached agreements with lenders to waive their rights to terminate the contracts by year-end and maintain the lendings in a total amount of 13.5 million euro. Terms and conditions have been adjusted and liquidity remains available for at least 3 more years. The third of the three main financing components is a setup of an asset-backed security program. Here we are about to sign the contract in the nearest future. We expect permanent proceeds from the sale of receivables of at least 29 million euro. With facilities in the total amount of more than 150 million euro on a medium-term perspective, we are very well provided with liquidity. Coming to the last slide of my presentation, the guidance on slide 17. Based on the positive development at half-year 2019, as well as further cost savings, largely due to the measures already initiated and continuous improvements, we are confident to achieve the guidance we made for the full fiscal year. The EBIT margin relevant for the guidance is 6.9% in the first half of the year 2019. We still expect an EBIT margin of 5 to 6% for the year as a whole, as Q1 was affected by a few one-off effects. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention during this not so easy to understand finance section of this conference. I now hand over to Albrecht, our CEO.
Thank you, Thomas, for commenting our 6 months 2019 financials and our outlook for the year. Also from my side, ladies and gentlemen, welcome everybody to today's investor and analyst call. Following the review of our numbers, I would like to make some additional comments on how we did our homework to bring the company back on track. And most importantly, on how we see the future of Schaltpro in light of the broad range of attractive market opportunities. But before coming to this, let me provide relevant insight to a significant force majeure incident which happened in the morning of 21st of May this year. Please move to slide 18, called Flooding at Bode. On 21st of May, the production site of Bode in Kassel was extensively flooded. All people on site were evacuated immediately. And it is important to mention that not a single person was injured. We were quickly able to begin with the clean-up and repair work with outstanding commitment by more than 400 locally based employees, representing more than half of our staff in Kassel. The action was organized with military precision, enabling production to be largely resumed within a few days. Thanks to the existing insurance coverage against property damage and business interruption, from today's perspective, only a small related cost burden remains. Also, we are confident that we are able to fully work off this production backlog versus plan short term with extra shifts run. Ladies and gentlemen, please turn to slide 19 on our restructuring project. As Thomas just mentioned, and sorry, it's a little bit a repeat of Thomas' version, but I think it's very important to understand, and we are very proud to reach this milestone. On Monday this week, 29th of July, we received confirmation from the bank demanded management consultancy that the restructuring project kicked off in early 2017 from their perspective is considered to be finalized. This is a good opportunity to summarize the key cornerstones of our restructuring achievements once more and to hint on the significant degrees of freedom gaining back following Schaltbau to manage the profitability growth of its business much more flexible than before. Firstly, we sold Pinch Buchbinder, did two share capital increases, and repaid a bridge financing until first quarter 2018, which led to a massive improvement in the group financial situation. These measures have cleaned the way for continuing operations and for further restructuring. Secondly, we were able to modify the contract with Bombardier Transportation for the use of platform screen doors in Sao Paulo Metro systems in third quarter 2018. Up to then, the platform screen door project in Brazil had to cost us around 20 million net over a number of years. If the previous contract had been allowed to continue, a further 20 million of potential losses could have been occurred, which we could avoid. Following the contract modification in 2018, we are no longer responsible for on-site project management. We just deliver the certified door systems to Bombardier Transportation, who take fully responsibility of the installation. Thirdly, we have also found viable solutions to divest ourselves of the loss-making Spanish subsidiary Cepsa and ALDE, as Thomas mentioned. The acquisition and ongoing operations of these two companies have so far cost us in excess of more than 70 million net. In order to ensure a sustainable business model for Schaltbau going forward, it was essential to put an end of the outflow of funds driven by Cepsa and ALDE. At the same time, in the interest of our customers and employees, it was also important to do our best to give these two companies a chance to continue their business operations, not least in the interest of our customers. We had already put Cepsa for sale in November 2017 with a view of finding a suitable third party, which in accordance with the best ownership principle would be a better position with know-how, synergies and financial strengths to generate better earnings with Cepsa than possible within Schaltbau Group. Several quarters passed in which no appropriate purchase offer was received. In November 2018, we acquired a major order to equip more than 500 cars for New York subway using Cepsa technology. The contract also includes an option to equip more than 1,000 additional subway cars. With this order in the bag, Cepsa immediately became an interest target for potential buyers. Several parties subsequently expressed interest in acquiring Cepsa major assets. After intensive negotiations in April this year, Schaltbau received a binding offer from the Indian rail supplier Meta to acquire these assets. Since it would have been unattractive for Meta to acquire Cepsa via a share deal, it became necessary for Cepsa to file a bankruptcy at the same time. The Spanish liquidator examined the attractiveness of Meta's offer and the offer was finally accepted by the liquidation court on 16th of July, as also Thomas mentioned before. This means that CEPSA operation can be continued with customers and employees benefiting alike. And in addition, it can save our remaining performance guarantees. Having taken restructuring measures at Alte, the company returned close to break-even operating profitability, and therefore there was interest in the market to buy Alte. We put this company up for sales in February 2019 in accordance with the best ownership principle as well. Alte was then finally sold to the French rail supplier Barat at the end of May. Thanks to the sales supplier contract, we will be fulfilled. The company attractive product portfolio will remain available and operations can be continued. Fourthly, we set the course for refinancing our debt until end as laid out by Thomas earlier in the presentation. The new structure is put together by a minimum of 103 million in credit lines and 13.5 million in existing promissory notes, both running for 3 years at least. On top comes a maximum 35 million receivable securitization program, resulting a total of more than 150 million debt funds available without the restriction that we had to live with during the restructuring phase. Fifthly and finally, beyond further balance sheet cleanup activities, for example at Pinch, where we wrote off a considerable amount of previously capitalized own work in 2018, we have made good progress in optimizing many of the group's operational processes, which already has shown in our result. At the end of 2019, for instance, Pinch two large locations, Dienstlagen and Spockhövel, will be merged into one location. Employees at both sites have agreed to forgo salary components until then as part of a collective restructuring agreement. This decision results in saving for Schaltbo of around 2 million in both 2018 and 19. In addition, our operational excellence program called Fit for Future 1 and 2 are running successfully at Bode and Rawag, as mentioned by Thomas earlier on. With this, let's turn to slide 20, ladies and gentlemen, to address the significant market opportunities which will drive Schaltbo's future. As discussed as previous occasions, let me reiterate that the market perspective of Schaltbo Group are excellent with major opportunities across all our operational units. Our components business, as represented by business unit Schaltbo GmbH Group, experienced significant growth across all product lines, driven by steadily increasing demand for rail vehicles. Worth highlighting is the market of DC switching technology within the new energy sector, which even shows higher growth rates. Over the next few years, market estimates to average growth rate of over 20% per annum for these applications, filled in particular by DC energy storage and electromobility. As for our entry systems and interior fittings business, representing by the business unit Bode Group, there is strong demand for such systems for rolling stock and buses alike. The market for rolling stock entry systems, for example, should see growth rates of 10 to 15% per year over the next couple of years, particularly through the increasing numbers of entry systems sold, and even more importantly, the increasing range of digital door functions sold, functions such sensor-based automatic ticketing and passenger recognition. These and other digital door functions can, of course, not only be implemented in rail vehicles, but also in buses. As for the bus market, at current Bode and major automotive supplier are seeking to collaborate in the development of a vehicle boarding system with sliding black doors for so-called people movers or autonomous driving minibuses, and a corresponding contract is due to be concluded shortly. The aim is to implement a highly compact design as well as numerous sensor-controlled additional digital functions. Our stationary transportation business operates under the brand of Pinch Safety for Rail. Here, the major customer is Deutsche Bahn, and the major catch-up infrastructure investments recently announced by them should be a significant growth driver for the level crossing systems, point heating systems, and shunting equipment market at some point in the next years. Timing and magnitude of orders, however, are very difficult to determine. More tangible is the current ramp in platform screen doors business in Brazil. Under a received contract, business has been developed nicely in the first half of 2019 and should further contribute for the remainder of the year. And finally, there is an interesting international market for axle counting systems. Pinch has seen good progress here, especially in China. We just released the latest generation of axle counting systems, now able to digitally drive the controlling of signals and automatic level crossings. And finally, worth mentioning as a separate key brand in SBRS Efficiency First, covering our train refurbishment and electrical buses fast charging station business in the mobile transportation technology segment. SBRS, which stands for Schaltbau Refurbishment and Systems, offers a broad range of products for refurbishment rolling stock that is already in operation. This market segment is growing nicely because there are currently not enough new trains available to meet the demand. Just in the first half of 2019, for example, SBRS received an order from Deutsche Bahn to supply more compact interior door drivers to be fitted in certain ICE1 carriages as part of a lifetime extension project. An even more dynamic market at current that has been identified by SBRS is the business of the mobility, especially today in the field of fast charging stations for electrobuses. As the use of electrical buses for local public transportation is growing rapidly, it is also essential to ensure the quick and safe charging of these vehicles. SBRS charging systems are already being used in Osnabrück and Brussels, where SBRS cooperates with the Dutch bus manufacturer VDL and the Polish bus manufacturer Solaris. These companies are both market leaders in the field of electric buses. In addition, over the last few months, SBRS has been awarded contracts to equip local bus networks in the city of Münster, Düsseldorf and Freiburg. This carries charging infrastructure for their electrical buses as well. We estimate today that at current, SBRS holds about 30% market share in Germany, Austria and Switzerland, representing an excellent base for further growth. To summarize, overall, we have very stable base with our railway business and an additional opportunity to generate further growth and additional value in the new energy market without carrying the historical burden of old technology. Ladies and gentlemen, with this overview, which I hope it was interesting for you, I thank you for your attention and hand it back to Wolfgang. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Albrecht and Thomas, for your comments. Before opening the floor for questions, let me hint you to our investor calendar on slide 21. Schaltbau will be celebrating 90 years of existence on the 19th of September 2019. In a dedicated gallery location in Munich. The event will feature a forward-looking forum with high-caliber panel participants, a renowned meteorologist, and as a special guest, the long-standing EU Commissioner Günther Oettinger. Should you be interested to attend and should you not yet have received an invitation to the event, please let us know and we will try to add you to our guest list. As for the latest financial information, we will be back with our 9 months 2019 interim statement on the 31st of October. With this, I hand it back to Arkadin to manage the Q&A process.
Thank you. Then we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift your handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We've received the first question. It is from Stefan Augustin of Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Stefan Augustin from Pareto. A couple of questions, actually, indeed. The first one would be on your forward-looking statements for the full year. You have done quite well in the first half, and looking at your achieved EBIT margin, and by tendency that the second half should not be a lot worse. There's a question why you have foregone the opportunity to increase the margin guidance for the full year. That would be my first question. The second question is on the financial restructuring. So everything has been finalized and clarified that the restructuring is final with the acceptance of the securitization program. Is there any binding condition to any other items, or is this simply a negotiation that needs to be finished? That would be my second question. And if I may, a third question that would be if you could possibly quantify a little bit the impact of the flooding in Kassel, and if that had even if it is a shift something to do for sales and EBIT and cash flow between possibly Q2 and what could come up in Q3. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Augustin, for your questions, and also thank you for reminding us in potentially adjusting the guidance. You are right, or you can also guess we did not forget to think about our guidance. We know, by the way, same as in Q1, that we have a little bit headroom on what we predicted and gave you as a guidance so far, but we may not forget that in the second half of the year we have two weaker months. One, we are just about to start with August, where a lot of our customers close the factories and sales tend to be a little bit lower, and we also have December, where we always see some surprises because our customers either they want it desperately, which is mainly in the stationary business, or they want it and they decide in this month or in the next year. So it's a little bit fluctuating, and therefore please allow us to be a little bit careful. We calculate the same way as you do. But for the time being, we rather stick a little bit conservative and not too optimistic, taking these two effects into consideration. We are more than happy, just in case this would work, to increase our guidance accordingly in the later term of the year, just in case we perform as you calculate, then we just keep it up for that time. Your second question, I'm not 100% sure if I understood it correctly. The restructuring process is formally over. So the management consultancy firm declared the finalization of the restructuring, and therefore we are back in a kind of a normal mode. Of course, we have improvements, cost savings and price increases and productivity gains, but they are not tracked in a way that a PMO is behind it. This is a normal work of operating board like Albrecht, Volker, and myself are doing this. And this is, we're just back in the homework mode and just continue with the potentials identified to bring Schaltbau in an even better position as it is now. Regarding the financing, if this was the question, I would say we still have a couple of CPs open, but these are more technical ones. We don't expect any major hurdles there. And regarding the flooding, Albrecht will answer
the question. The question was, what is the impact for the, I would say, remaining year? So there is a good news and a bad news. The good news is no doubt about we closed the gap which we lost according to the flu, and more or less up to now, we are more or less again in line with our plan. But if it would not happen, we would have been able to do more in this year. And this is a little bit the burden which we have. But however, we will see what is really in line with, I would say, all our efforts, which we could accelerate anyway, our revenues. That's the case, sure. Yeah. We could do more because we have a lot of, I would say, backlog.
One follow-up then, if I may. If you would look at the gross margin contained in your order backlog, would you say that this is over time consistently increasing so that, let's say, bad contracts or contracts that possibly have been negotiated with unfavorable terms continue to flow out of the backlog and are worked off?
No, surely there is an impact to our customers that we had some, I would say, blocking points on their, I would say, production. But there is no, I would say, impact in terms of prices in the contracts. No impact.
I'm not sure if I understood, Mr. Augustin, if this is the right answer to your question. Are you talking about the gross margin in general or in particular regarding Bode?
In that case, I was referring actually on the group's order backlog.
Okay.
In total.
Our order intake, this is what I can tell you for sure, is definitely healthier than it was in the past. One reason is very easy because the loss-making entities and therefore also the orders and the order book of the Spanish entities is gone. Nevertheless, we also, before we sold Alte, significantly increased prices and therefore also the overall profitability of the products in Alte there. That was quite remarkable. Nevertheless, we renegotiate bad projects with our customers. Sometimes it works very well, sometimes it works a little bit, sometimes it doesn't work at all. But I mean, we of course we respect contracts, but then we also do our best operationally in order to perform better and have a good margin. But what we do regarding new contracts from a controlling base and also from a legal base, I think we are in a far better position than in the past. We made sure that major projects really have to go in a review mode and they get checked by especially our rail experienced colleagues, Albrecht and Volker, who really streamline things, make sure that we have certain buffers and that the margins are simply corrected in a proper manner. This has been done with my controlling team and also with the legal team who supports on the contract base. I think we are on a very good track there and made significant improvement there, which will be, of course, the basis for future profits to come in the next years.
All right. Thank you very much for the good answers.
Pleasure.
Can you still hear us?
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. We've received a question. It is from Lukas Sprung, Unolist. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Some financial questions from my side. I would ask it by one. So first question is concerning your order intake. If I calculated it right, on a like-for-like basis, in Q2 it was about 13% below Q2 2018, and after 6 months you talked about a more or less flat order intake. To get a better feeling on this, do you see here maybe an economic downturn, or what is your explanation for this development? That would be the first question.
Our order book. I mean, we have a lot of effects from Alte and Sepsa. This is something we may not forget, and also some orders also for Pinch-Buwens last year. So this is exactly the reason, and again, we can only apologize for the complexity, but this is simply the effects when you try to clean up a company and try to make it better. What we can say that the order book, like for like, compared to prior year, after 6 months, went up by 10.6%. This is what I can clearly confirm in the continued core business that is about to be continued also for the future.
That's clear, no, but on the order intake side.
On the order intake side, you're talking about. This went down by 4% on a reported basis, and on a like-for-like basis, it maintained on the same level. But also taken into consideration that 6.7 million have been taken out with this revenue recognition standard. So we grew slightly on a like-for-like basis.
But in Q2, you had a decline.
No, not with this, if we take in consideration this 6.7.
Yeah, but in Q2, you are right, we have a tiny
We're talking about Q2.
In only Q2, you are right, yeah. But we don't see it as a, I mean, we always have this ups and downs as I already mentioned, that especially in the stationary business, we have some awardings which we expected to come right now, but they are pushed out from Deutsche Bahn to now they say second half of the year. At least we haven't received it yet. I know that Albrecht is chasing them personally. We don't. This is, to us, it's not a reason to worry. We think our very top line is still very healthy, and we are quite sure that in Q3 we see a bounce back there.
Yeah, maybe I can add, Mr. Spring. So order intake to measure with this long-lasting project business quarterly is really not the right thing. Yeah. But however, in the two businesses like component business and in the mobile transportation, we don't have any problem. They are growing, and the only, I would say, issue is today, and as Thomas mentioned, with this stationary, but I think end of the year we will see here also light at the end of the tunnel, and that will lead also in the total, in the comprehensive, I would say, order intake for Schaltpro with an increasement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And second question is concerning the restructuring costs. I remember the call at the beginning of April that you said that you are not expecting, or that you not expect higher restructuring costs in 2019 than in 2018. So now we have 8.3 million at the first 6 months. What's the reason behind this transgression?
Actually, I mean, it's a definition of restructuring cost. we could also show it separately with the provision we made for the guarantees for ZEPSA that are still out there in the market. By the way, we also clearly announced that in Q1, that in the Q1 call, that we have this guarantees out in the market. And in order now to finalize also the restructuring, we made a full provision for these guarantees, and they are fully now incorporated in our books. So there's no risk there anymore. You can call it now as a one-off exceptional item and put it in a separate piece in this EBIT bridge there, or as we did it now in this time, but sorry for if it is too intransparent. If you take 8.3 minus 6.7, then the remaining 1.6 is the real restructuring cost as in the like-for-like definition, so to say, compared mm-hmm. to last year or Q1. This is only the cost for the management consulting firm and our CRO and other support that we get in order to get the restructuring done. So this cost, if you compare it to last year, is definitely way below the amounts we paid last year. And as the restructuring is now officially over, we don't have to pay for the management consulting firm anymore. So there should be a little bit headroom or further headroom for the second half of the year there as well.
Okay, that would be my last question concerning the extraordinary effects in the second half of the year. Can you give us a feeling on this?
Yeah, as I said, I can read behind take your question already. You ask the question. We don't expect any major exceptional costs there, like Roland Berger. There might be the case that we have a couple of other provisions just in case our restructuring continues now on an operational level. This might be the case, but apart from that.
So are we talking about a low single-digit million or?
Wait a minute. Definitely not double digit, to make this very clear, but there are a couple of things, maybe it's too early to talk about it, but there are a couple of things we cannot announce right now. But of course, as we previously mentioned, we continue doing our homework, be it in a restructuring project or just in the case we are working on. And there might be the case that the one or the other exceptional item might come up, but definitely not in double digit figures.
Concerning the complete year?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yes, the next question we've received is from Olaf Helgrim of LBBW. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yes, hello gentlemen, and congratulations on your ongoing turnaround. You have, in fact, already answered the questions I had, so I won't take any additional time. But thanks very much anyway, and lots of luck to you in the coming months. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, are there any further questions from anyone?
Yes, we've received a follow-up question of Stefan Augustin of Pareto Securities. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Just one follow-up left, which is on cash flow. If we, let's say, even without the securitization, just on the operating working capital, what kind of amount do you think is possible to be released in the second half of this year?
That's a good question. Actually, we just started or are just about to start two separate projects, one in Pinch Group in Dienstlagen, one in Kassel at Bode, in order to improve the working capital. Some of the things are not so easy to change and not so quickly to transfer. For example, if you need to want to have consignment stocks, you also need the space in your warehouse that you get the products and you just don't own it. It just needs to make sure that the supply chain works in a proper manner. And given the fact how we produce the transformation, I mean, we have a Fit for Future project which needs to streamline and to optimize the supply chain there first, then all these side effects come second. We have them on the radar and we are working on them, that's for sure, and this is also why we start this particular two projects where we can hopefully get some quick wins and also lower the level then permanently. This is the case. In general, I would say we would see at least the development and the reduction we saw last year, where the working capital really went down significantly in Q3 and Q4, and we at least expect the same level to come this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would hand back to you.
For everyone to have joined this call. Before you go, we would like to let you know that we're looking forward to the continued dialogue with you, also in person or over the phone, and we will continue to be on the road and at conferences from September again, and we're also very open to individual and small group discussions in our headquarters in Munich. Bye-bye and have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.